From the Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I give it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here's your host, Rocky LaFleur.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slice.
Also starring Josh Webb, Jake LaTondres, Rob Kroom, David Ellis, and Ramsey Russell.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur in the Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi. It is Monday. Joining me, hey, it's cooling off in Jackson, Tennessee, Rob Kroom.
Burning.
Does the cold front push through? It's probably getting pretty cool in Jackson, isn't it?
It's 82 right now. It was about 61 yesterday morning when I got to the river, and I had not planned on it being 61, and I was a little nipply there first hour or so.
Is there anything else in this world that we celebrate more in the South than a cold front coming through in the fall?
No. Sundresses and yoga pants.
Lots to cover this week since we missed out on last week, but I mean, we're not going way back in time, but I gotta ask, let me just start out here. Who's worse, Tennessee or Arkansas? Really?
That's a really tough one. I had a buddy of mine text me last night and said they were playing this year, and I got all excited, and I looked at the schedule and realized they weren't. I'm going to go out and say that probably – oh, man, this is tough. I don't think either one of them could beat the other one. I think if they played 10 times, one would win 5 and one would win 5 just because of sure something stupid. The best thing that could happen if Tennessee and Arkansas played is if a typhoon came through and they just canceled the game.
Man, so, all right. You were the first person to reply back to me on Saturday. So I'm sitting there watching that Tennessee-Florida game, 17-3, and Tennessee brings in a new quarterback. And I was sitting there thinking to myself the whole time, okay, the reason that Tennessee has not won any games is their quarterback really sucks. And on top of that, they don't know what a telephone is, you know, so something's wrong with their intelligence level. Did you see that? It's been going around. But anyway, I said, well, things are going to change. And this guy, he gets the offense moving. And so I make that post in our group message. I'm like, man, I like this guy, Jesse. I like him a lot. I think, you know, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, he's about to turn this game around. Good gosh, man. I walked in the dining room to eat lunch and came back, and I think it was 31-3 or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, Florida's a decent team, and they got a good coach. But anyway, you know, when you lose to Jackson State Community College in Fayetteville, then you've got big, big problems. And by the way, Chad Morris obviously isn't the answer. And I think this is his second year? Yeah.
Yes. Chad Morris's second year. What number is this for Pruitt? Oh, both of them. Okay.
Yeah. So my problem with the Tennessee thing, and I'm not sure, I don't keep up with Arkansas enough to know their situation, but my deal with the Tennessee thing is that there's people that lunch today that were like, he's not going to make it through the year. I'm like, guys, you can't change coordinators and coaches every 2 years. You can't do it. It never works. If you study this college football and you go through and you look at the teams, that are always good, except for Alabama, because somehow Nick Saban pulls it off. But if you look at these teams, the teams that are going to be in the top 15 year in and year out are the ones that have three recruiting classes in the top 20 every year. They keep the same coordinators, and they run the same system. And the kids learn it. And so when you have three recruiting classes in a row that are that good, like Ole Miss did, then you're good. You're going to lose some games, but you're good enough to be a top 25 football team. When you go to getting these recruits 3 years in a row, it changes your program. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's Mississippi State, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Michigan, who sucks, by the way. Whoever. Man. When you get that many recruiting classes in a row that average a certain amount of stars, because these guys know how to evaluate talent. I don't care what anybody says. They can say the rankings are screwed up, whatever. When you get that in a row and you keep your coordinators in your system, then you're good that third or fourth year. So what they've done essentially is cut everything that could make them successful out of the equation. I don't care what offense Chad Morris has. It's obviously not working. I don't care what Jeremy Pruitt brings to the table because it's not working. And you can hire Chaney and all these other guys. Dude, I can watch it on TV and know what they're running. I was like the fourth string wide receiver and fifth string quarterback in high school. I was a long snapper. I started at long snapper at 175 pounds. So I don't know a whole lot about football, but I can tell you when they're going to run a freaking off tackle or a counter. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And it's not just this year. It's like if you go back to when they had Kamara, they would run Kamara five plays a game. Look at him for the Saints. He's the best player in the NFL. Look at Knox. Knox scores for Buffalo yesterday, trucks two people, and Ole Miss never threw him a touchdown pass. We throw to him twice a game. He's starting in the NFL.
Have an unbelievable year.
All of them are. Brown, Metcalf, Knox, Tunzel, all of them are. They're all great. And what did we get out of Knox in Oxford? Nothing. We didn't use him at all. So it's that kind of thing that you have to look at. I know people miss. I know coaches miss out. You know, maybe they have a thing against certain players. Maybe there's more to the story. I don't know. Maybe Kamara wasn't giving it his all or something. I don't know. Who cares? But you can't have – you've got to have talent, and you've got to use it. I mean, Saban is the only coach in the country that can lose every coordinator every year and still be first or second every year. Every year. It doesn't matter. I don't know how he does it. I can't figure it out. But like I've said 100 times on the podcast, he's my spirit animal.
I'm trying to figure out what Pruitt's first year that he was there.
He did good. He did pretty good last year. I mean,
I'm talking about recruiting wise. All right, so the last 5 years, Tennessee was 15-15. Hold on. All right, let's look at the 2 years that he's been there. Number 5 and 21.
Right.
5 and 21. So the first year he was there, he signed the – no, this – I hate when it does that crap. Give me the most up-to-date articles. But I know last year it was a top 10 class, right?
They were for sure. I don't know if it was top 10, but I know they ended up top, 20 or 15. I mean, they had a really good recruiting class. Now, some of their people have gotten hurt and stuff like that, but that happens. That's part of it. You know, it's like Tony Connor when he got hurt. I mean, that kid was the best defensive player I've ever seen in my life, ever. And, you know, he gets hurt against Alabama and never was the same. But you got to have these recruiting classes to be good. You have to. And that's what Auburn and Alabama and LSU and Georgia, that's what they do. Georgia gets the number one recruiting class. They either get one, two, or three every year now. And that's why they're so good. I mean, they beat a really, really good Notre Dame team. And I hate saying that because I hate Notre Dame. But, you know, watch LSU play. Watch Auburn play, even though they have a knucklehead as a coach. Watch these guys play. Watch Florida play. Dan Mullen's only been there for 2 years. Look at him. He's not having a problem. He's in the top 10. But no, let's get him out of Mississippi State and hire this Goonies character. Yeah. Welcome to 6-6. Welcome all right, to 6-6.
Tennessee was 15 last year. Tennessee was 15 last year.
And that's good. So where are those kids? Where are they at? I mean, at least get them some. When you're getting beat 47-7, get them in a game. I mean, at this point, do we really need to redshirt these kids when we're getting our ass beat all over the field? I mean, when their offensive and defensive line is pathetic. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. And don't even get me started on Ole Miss. I could rant on them for an hour. I'm so sick and tired of being on Twitter and hearing all these Ole Miss goober heads talk about how we should have won the game on that catch. Yeah, he scored. I'm tired of hearing about it. We play freaking Alabama Saturday, and you're still worried about Cal? We're going to get beat 75-3, and everybody's still worried about Cal. And we still would have had to go for two and get that. But no, according to Twitter, it was a touchdown. Yeah, so we would have lost by two instead of seven or eight, I mean.
All right, before we leave this, so Arkansas was 10, Tennessee was 15 last year.
Okay.
So that's unbelievable.
And look, that may not equate to beating SEC East and West teams, but it damn sure should equate to beating Georgia State and San Jose State and these other teams. I mean, do you think they have a top 20 recruiting class at San Jose State? Do you think Georgia Southern had a top 10 recruiting class? They won two games last year. Two. So
all right, in 2018, Tennessee was 21. Arkansas was, Arkansas didn't finish that good. They were 49. So that's kind of,
right.
You know, usually you're a couple of years behind. So, but Tennessee has had two good years, pretty decent years in a row for an SEC East team. It's not like it's any powerhouses besides Georgia in the East that you're,
no.
You know, it's not like the West where you have Alabama, LSU, Auburn, you know, there's Texas A&M that's always in the top 10, always.
And they got players, yeah. But you know, Tennessee has besides Florida, in my opinion, they have the best opportunity to recruit because they have all those states that touch them. There's six of them, and then they have all that money and the big stadium and all these fans and all this stuff. They have the best opportunity in that I believe of besides Florida. And the only reason I say Florida is because everybody in Florida, all these kids want to play in warm environments. Nobody wants to go to Michigan and freeze their balls off and play in a blizzard in 15 degrees. They don't want to do it. They may tell you they do, but no, deep down, they want to play somewhere in the South where it's warm, okay? They don't want to freeze to death. Nobody, they just don't want to. So, yeah, your Florida schools are always going to have good recruiting classes. They're always going to have these speed kids from Miami and Coral Gables and all those places in Florida that have all these awesome Texas, same way. Texas is warm. Texas has all these good kids and good players. You take those kids and you get some of those at an Ole Miss or a Tennessee or Arkansas, you're going to be better. And so Tennessee should be getting these kids. They used to. Frost-proof Florida, Travis Henry. They were getting kids from all over, wherever they wanted to. And now they're still getting good recruiting classes, but they suck. And you can't tell me Phil Fulmer, John Chavis, and David Cutcliffe were the miracle workers at Tennessee. They recruited good kids. They coached the ball on both sides, and they got lucky and won a national championship after Peyton left. So, yeah, that was great, and that's hard to do. But they had a lot of things happen to have that happen. So I don't want to hear about it. I'm so tired of hearing about it. All my buddies here are freaking out. They've gone and sold their tickets and all this and that. And the Arkansas guys, I mean, I don't know what they – I mean, look, we know we're going to suck. We get that. But at least we have an excuse. these guys don't have an excuse. I mean, we only have 15 scholarships.
Let me ask you something. Which one is more surprising to you, Tennessee or Arkansas?
Honestly, probably Tennessee, just because they're in the East. But they haven't lost. They've only lost one East game. And Arkansas has only lost one West game. So the whole thing about losing these games to these powder puff teams is what kills me. I mean,
I would agree with everybody. You. I would agree with you. Tennessee is most surprising.
I mean, Arkansas. Look, Arkansas is going to get better. Okay, they're going to even if nothing changes. If they keep getting some recruits, they're going to eventually get better. But I don't know about Tennessee. They've been saying they were going to get better for 8 years. I mean, Lane Kiffin had him turned around, and he obviously not the whatever, but he had him playing better. But since then, they've hired a bunch of goons. I mean, Butch Jones, I mean, he played the freaking trumpet in the band. What does he know about football? He won at Central Michigan and Eastern Missouri State, and then went to Cincinnati, had one good year, and they hire him at Tennessee? What did Derek Dooley ever do? Where do you get these guys?
If you can
pay somebody $3 to $4 million a year to be a head coach in an SEC school, and 2 years ago you couldn't get anybody to come but Pruitt, and don't act like Pruitt was your first choice. We all saw the tweets and we all heard all this drama about Gruden and Mike Leach and all these, and nobody wanted to go. So I know I can't remember the AD's name, Mike something. He's an idiot too. But you can't tell me that a school that size with that much money in that area with that stadium cannot recruit kids. How can you not get kids to come to a game there, recruits, and say, this is where I'm going to play. I want to run through the tee in front of 110,000 people. It's not that hard. You're not selling, you know, you don't have to sell it that hard. So what happened? So are the kids not listening to the coach?
I hire you as an AD. I hire you as the next AD at Ole Miss. We got to get rid of Matt Luke. We know it's coming. New chancellor, new AD. You're the new AD coming in. You know, some
Keith
people
Carter, yes.
are not coming to Ole Miss. You know, some would entertain the offer if the right amount of money and the right buyout package were put in place. Who are you calling? Seriously, who are you calling?
Well, I mean, I wanted Holgorsen back when we were trying to get, when it was between him and Freeze and was it Leach? Or anyway, I wanted Holgorsen back then. I still think he's a good coach. I don't think he would come to Ole Miss. But everybody's talking about this offensive coordinator from Tulane. I can't remember his name, but he apparently is really good.
Danny White, is that his name?
Danny
White,
know,
I think it is.
Well, we almost hired, or there was talks of us hiring him 2 years ago, but who would want to come then? So, okay, let's say we get all our crap together. I don't think, unless there's a perfect situation, I don't think that we're going to get any big-name coach. I just don't think it's – Hugh Freeze wasn't a big-name coach. I mean, for God's sakes, he came from Lambeth University in Jackson. You know, you're going to have to find somebody, you know, that knows football and knows how to hire coordinators that can go out and recruit these kids. And, you know, you're never going to get better than – I mean, look, Rich Rod is a great coordinator. McIntyre is a great coordinator. But when Matt Luke has no clue what's going on, everybody knows that. I can't even watch it.
Will Hall. Sorry, I told you the wrong name.
That's the guy from Tulane?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, he's hot right now, kind of like, all, you know, you get all these coordinators that get really hot, and you've seen it. Like, Kirby Smart worked out. Hugh Freeze worked out. I would give anything in the world to get Freeze back, but that's never going to happen. But, you know, it'd be funny if Freeze ended up at Tennessee. They would win 4 national championships in a row.
What did Hugh Freeze
Somebody
coach
like
out
that?
Of this weekend? Last weekend, he coached out of a wrestling ring.
Dude,
what did he coach out of this weekend?
They beat Buffalo. Buffalo held Penn State to like
I think it was 10 points in the first half the week before. Hugh Freeze and the Liberty Flying Golden Buzzards beat the crap, beat them by like 28. Then they go and play somebody this weekend and beat them 62-17. Now you tell me he can't coach. You think they had a bunch of kids at Liberty in freaking Lynchburg, Virginia? You think he had a lot to work with this year? He's going. Somebody's got to hire him.
All right, let's walk through this. First week he coached out of a hospital bed. Second week he coached out of a dentist chair. Third week he coached out of a wrestling ring. You don't know what he coached out of this past week.
Doesn't matter.
I would take 2012 Hugh Freeze. I don't want him anywhere past 2012. 2013 on, I don't want him.
Well, somebody will. Somebody will be really good.
2012 Hugh Freeze, man, he had a burning in his stomach, the pit of his stomach, to prove everybody wrong and to win. After that, it was all about Hugh Freeze, the celebrity.
Well, it's been that way. You got to be that way to be a really good recruiter and head coach in the SEC. You have to be that way. He's been that way ever since he coached at Lambeth. This isn't something new. Like, Liz would get all tore up when he came in Verizon because he would act like what you're talking about. None of that changed. It's just people didn't know. People didn't realize it. It was always like that. He didn't change overnight. It's been like that for years, but that's why he's good. I mean, look at Orgeron. Like, I would have bet you anything in the world that Orgeron wasn't going to work down there. I've never seen anything quite like it. I don't know how he does it. I don't know if it's his coordinators or I don't know if he just, I don't know, but
his coordinator this year for sure.
Well, every time they play somebody good, like Texas. I bet Texas, and I thought Texas is going to probably give them all they want. Of course, I lost by a half a point. But anyway, LSU, watching that game, it looked like they beat them by 40. Watching the game. Now, I know the score wasn't that, but that's what it looked like. Those guys are, I mean, every position is just looks like, you know, like Alabama's kids. Every position, you're like, God. You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I guess you just got to get lucky. Back to your original question, I don't know. I would like to have somebody that, you know, maybe like Hugh Freeze, like maybe that Tulane guy or maybe some really hot coordinator. I don't know. But you got to get lucky with the coordinators because you don't know what they can do as a head coach. You know, you don't know what Jeremy Pruitt's going to do. You don't know what Chad Morris is going to do. And I know Chad Morris, I think, was the head coach at SMU, but he was a glorified coordinator. So you don't know what these – you got to get lucky. So you got to find a coordinator because no big name. We're not getting Urban Meyer. We're not getting any big name guy that always everybody's like, oh, we can buy them. No, that's not going to happen. But you know, you get a really good, really, really hot, good coordinator and get lucky, then you're going to be good. And that's what's going to have to happen. Rich Rod's going to get hired by somebody. I don't know what McIntyre's deal is. He sucked as a head coach, but look at where he was. I mean, these guys. Like, that whole staff is going to be gone soon, okay? But I don't know who you hire. I mean, you just got to get really, really lucky and say, look, we're going to give you $6 million for your coordinators or whatever it is. I don't know what it is up to now. We're going to give you $2.5 million the first 3 years, give you incentives for wins, incentives for bowl games, incentives for all this stuff, and just get lucky and find somebody that's really, really good. And that's what's going to happen to all of these teams, and that's what Tennessee's been trying to do, but it doesn't work. So you got to get lucky. It's more of just getting like it just working. And I don't know how you figure that out. But when you have Archie Manning on your head coaching search, and you have people like Eli and Archie, you think those guys don't know who's going to be successful? I mean,
see, a lot of people don't know the backstory about Ross Bjork leaving. And you know, I'm going to tell you what. As pretty as a girl as Texas A&M is, a lot of Ross leaving, he knew what was coming. with the Matt Luke deal. He knew that, you know, and it's going to be pinned on him, even though it was 100% on Vitter, the chancellor, that hired Matt Luke, you know, because a lot of people walked in that office after they beat State 2 years ago and said, listen, this is going to make you a popular man. You need to hire Matt Luke. We'll all get behind you. You're going to be the most popular kid on campus. So Vitter did it, overstepped his bounds, because a lot of people don't know Ross Bjork had almost a signed contract from North Carolina State's head coach.
Right. And the thing is everybody blames Bjork for a lot of stuff. He did some amazing stuff at Ole Miss. And these booger eaters that say, oh, he screwed it. No. And Vitter was the worst chancellor that we've ever had in the history of the school.
Ever.
So, you know, there's always a lot of moving parts. You can't just blame one person for everything. There's always politics. There's always money involved. And that's great. That's how the world works. Okay? But you can't do that kind of crap when you have, like I said, Archie Manning and all these people that know who the next good coach is going to be or who would be a good coach. You have to use them to your advantage. I mean, who are they? Okay, let's say we get Cooper's son at quarterback in 2 years or 3 years. I can't remember how old he is. Maybe four. You think we're not going to have a badass coach for that kid? You think we can't hire somebody that's going to want to coach a Manning? That's already throwing the ball over the world in the eighth or ninth grade, whatever he is. How could you not find a coach that would want to come in for that? It's like Cutcliffe. I mean, he coached Peyton. He coached Eli. I mean, who wouldn't want to coach this? I mean, you'd be crazy.
He was essentially put at Ole Miss for Eli Manning, 100%.
Yes. So that's what you got.
Speaking of Ole Miss, I know when I was trying to look up those recruiting rankings, you were going through the Twitter verse because it was going nuts after that play at Ole Miss this past weekend. So what did you think? In your opinion, did he get in?
I don't know. It looks like he did. I'm more shocked that they didn't stop the game and look at it. That's what shocked me. Now, the fix might have been in, which it very well could have, but I'm surprised that they didn't at least stop and look, because most of the times they will. I don't know why they didn't. I don't know what happened there. I'm not a referee, thank God. But
I think the refs in the replay booth were just as confused as Plumlee was about running that last play. There was so much confusion going on. I don't think he got in. I think the ref marked it right.
He might have, and it's a tough call from. And everybody keeps showing these different angles, and you can make a five. You know, you can take a girl that's a five and get a glamour shot and do some editing with this new software and make her a 10. It's not rocket science. So you can take all these angles you want to and say he was in, but they didn't call it a touchdown, and that's the bottom line. And Saturday's over with, and people are still posting it. It's Monday, and you got Bama in 5 days, and you're still worried about a stupid catch against Cal in a game that doesn't even matter?
Here's the bigger problem I have with all of this. This is 2019, and we still don't have a end-zone camera going right down the line. How is that possible?
Rocky, the NFL, they now will let you challenge pass interference, for God's sake. But they can't stop. They can't stop the play for 3 seconds and say no. All they had to do was stop it and still say he didn't get in. That's all they had to do. And none of this would be going on, except for the booger eaters that are like, he definitely scored. Oh. But whatever. I mean, it get it together, and everybody's blaming everybody else. Why didn't you score with a minute left? Why didn't you score earlier? Don't blame, because you lost by eight. Don't blame, don't I mean, you had 60 minutes to win the game, and you're pissed off about the last 10 seconds. You had 60 minutes. I know Kroll got hurt, and I know Plumlee came in and looked awesome and all this. And if you watch in the history of quarterbacks, when a freshman comes in, they usually play good right off the bat because the defense is already kind of confused because it's a new kid, and the kid is hot. These next few games, watch and see what happens.
They were in a pre-vet defense. The quarterback.
Exactly. It's like I tell people all the time, hell, I could play running back for the Cowboys and get at least 30 or 40 yards a game before I got killed. I mean, anybody, hell, Estes could run through those holes. There are a lot of – so let's see what happens in Alabama. Let's just take a breather and see what happens in a couple of games. Let's give it – I mean, we know Alabama's going to beat us by probably 65, but let's see what happens in a couple of games and get back to me on how bad that play was. Because when we're 5-6, and 7 or whatever we're going to end up, it doesn't matter.
So you keep up with a lot of games, right? I mean, you're constantly keeping up with games on Saturday. Was there anything that surprised you, or I don't want to use the word shocked because shocked is too extreme, but was there anything that surprised you in any of the games from the SEC on Saturday?
I was kind of shocked that Georgia didn't play better against Notre Dame.
I'll agree with
They looked a little bit – I don't know if they were just off or if they got too hyped up or, you know, what happened, but they should have beat that team – pretty easily and not had it as close as it was. Now, I know they had a fumble in the red zone, you know, or in Notre Dame territory and all that, but they should have beat them pretty bad, in my opinion. Now, I don't keep up with Notre Dame. I just know that Brian Kelly's not the best coach in the world, and I don't think the talent level at Notre Dame is what they say it is. But, you know, I don't – that game shocked me.
Arkansas's offense could really, really and truly could not get anything going. That surprised me. Let me see if you agree with this one. One of the ones that surprised me was flipping it over to that LSU-Vanderbilt game and Vandy scoring 30-some-odd points. It was 38, 31, 33-something on LSU. All these people saying, oh, LSU's going to challenge Alabama this year. When you let, if you're letting Vandy score 33 or 38, whatever it was, you're not beating Bama.
Well, on that day, no, but, you know, they look really good against Texas, and, I mean, you know, they don't care about Vanderbilt. I mean, but did you see the stat about the LSU fans at Vanderbilt?
38,000 or something like that.
The stadium holds 39,000. There was 32,000 LSU fans there. One bar in Nashville ran out of liquor in 30 minutes. They were out of beer. They were out of beer in the Vanderbilt Stadium in the first quarter. I should have gone to LSU probably or Alabama, but I think that I may be from Louisiana and not know it. Those are my kind of people. I don't like fighting like they do, but those are my people. When you can run a bar in downtown Nashville out of liquor in 30 minutes, that's impressive. And it was at 9:30 in the morning. They drank every beer in the stadium in the first quarter.
So most surprising, other thing surprising to me on Saturday, I saw all these pictures going around of Florida State Stadium. Did you see those? Oh
yeah.
My God! There couldn't have been 6,000 or 8,000 people, 10,000 people at that game.
No, they've given up on Taggart. He's probably going to be the first one of all these guys to go. I'm surprised they hadn't already fired him, to be honest with you, but I'm sure they're in talks with big name coaches. I mean, that's a serious program to be that bad.
Ooh. The only thing that's saving them is Cam Akers.
I don't even bring that up. That's the worst thing that happened. I can't.
Maybe he got sent to the Akers family to get him to Florida State. I'll say that.
Yeah, but a lot of cash came from Ole Miss, too, and we had him.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. I want that kid to grad transfer to Ole Miss so bad. Let's see. He's a sophomore, right? True sophomore. Right?
I think he's a junior this year. It's his third year.
That's not good. All right. Hear me out. Okay, we fire Matt Luke, hire Nick Saban, get Cam Akers as a transfer grad transfer, national championship. That's how the booger eaters on Twitter think. Yeah, that's how the booger eaters on. That's how Twitter is. That people think Ole Miss fans on Twitter think we're going to get Nick Saban and like Herschel Walker to come back and run. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like it's just like Mississippi State now. Your expectations have to come down. You have to lower your expectations. Wait till that kid from Penn State leaves. Is he hurt or is he still playing?
He is hurt. He's still hurt. Okay, he did not play this weekend.
Okay, well they may win six, maybe. But anyway.
All right, well on a serious note.
He brought up
surprising thing over the weekend. Jevon Snead, one of my favorite quarterbacks at Ole Miss.
Ever.
Jevon Snead rebirthed a love for Ole Miss football that I hadn't known since I was in college or high school, going to games with my brother and my dad. Because it was since Eli. Because after Eli left in 03, dude, there were some dark years in between Eli and Jevon Snead in 08. Bad, bad years.
I think Snead was the biggest. Houston Nutt screwed Jevon Snead worse than any quarterback he ever messed up, and he messed up a bunch of quarterbacks.
A bunch.
That kid was incredible. I don't know. Wasn't Ken Austin our coordinator when he was there?
He was.
Yeah. Those two together. I mean, that kid could throw a football. I'm not sure he wasn't better than Eli.
Snead came in. He was the number two or three ranked quarterback in the nation when he came out. He was committed to Florida. And then he swapped at the last minute and signed with Texas. Him and Colt McCoy both went in and signed with Texas. Colt beat him out. Jevon, don't you remember that first game? I don't know if you remember this, but the first game at Texas, they both played that game. Well, Colt had a better game, so Colt started the next game. Well, that about the middle of the year, Jevon saw the writing on the wall, decided he was transferring, and you know what was so crazy? I was listening to him. Somebody posted an interview that he did a couple of years ago with somebody from Ole Miss on a podcast. And it was between Ole Miss and TCU or Baylor, one of them. And he, you know, growing up in Texas, he didn't know anything about the SEC. Nothing. He knew it was wide open in the Big 12 and that's where he probably needed to be a quarterback. But, you know, he spoke very, very highly of Orgeron. He loved Orgeron. He wanted Orgeron to be his coach in 08, according to this interview that he gave. That's what surprised me. And when the guy kind of pushed him or pressed him about Nutt, dude, you could tell by the tone of his voice and the pushback that, number one, he wasn't going to say anything good about Nutt, but he was holding back a lot to bash him with.
Yeah, and very and he should have.
Man, I don't know if there was a better combo between Snead and Wallace, and then
no.
Oh man, Snead and Wallace, they were unbelievable. Mike Wallace is so fast.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, they were good. I mean, he did exactly what you're talking about. He got everybody back in it, and it was, you know, good. It was awesome while it lasted.
You know, the thing that's always forgotten about that 08 Ole Miss team, just to tell you how sucky, how bad Nutt sucked. Eventually, to go on, out of 22 starters on that 08 team, 13 would go on. 13 or 14 would go on to start in the NFL, and Nutt loses four games. One, he lost to South Carolina after beating Florida.
Yep.
Remember, he lost to Wake Forest. Of all the people to lose to, he lost to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Man. But anyway.
I know. Well, I mean,
Kevin Snead, man.
He was great. I hated what happened and all that. That's terrible.
Do you think Ole Miss should have paid? Kevin Snead did even though it was short-lived and short-term, that 08-09 season when it came to Ole Miss, do you think Ole Miss could have done a better job of kind of – You know, when we talk about quarterbacks at Ole Miss, we always talk about Chad Kelly, Bo Wallace, Eli Manning, Archie Manning. That's about the four you really ever hear about. Two being short term, but you never hear about Snead.
No, you really don't. You don't much. But the guy, I mean, the real fans and stuff. I mean, they know. I mean, you know, I mean. It's, you know, they know, but it is funny. You did bring up a good point how you didn't hear as much about him, but, you know, we throttled LSU that year. And I mean, just destroyed them. And anytime we beat LSU, I don't care if we lose every other game.
Oh, you know. Man, I'll never forget that game. That he beat LSU in Baton Rouge. Ole Miss was unranked. LSU was ranked. Did you see?
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. Man, he threw those darts, those just darts up and down the field. It was unbelievable.
I was hunting. I was in Egypt, Arkansas, hunting. And we had hunted that afternoon, and the game was, I believe it was a night game. Or anyway, maybe it was a CBS game. I don't know. But I was listening to it on the radio, and David Kellum was absolutely freaking out. I mean, you could just tell that it was just one of those things. And I, you know, you could just tell that it was crazy.
You know, between him and Bo Wallace, man, and the thing about it is they loved getting under LSU fan skin. They would run to that end zone and really, really rub it into them when they scored.
But yeah, it worked well for Bo Wallace. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they give everybody hell.
But anyway, surprising things over the weekend. But Alabama, did you put your – did you get your money out of Alabama first quarter, first half?
Well, yeah. It was Saturday,
I don't know what the line was.
Doesn't matter. If it's a Saturday and Alabama's playing, you can pretty much go ahead and figure I'm on that.
Let me say this. Tua is thrown up as the leading Heisman candidate right now. Right? He's a good, great quarterback. I want to say this. If every quarterback in the SEC had a receiver as good as that guy that can run like a 4.41 or whatever, I've never seen him get past safeties. I've never seen a receiver get past safeties as fast as he does. All you do is throw it up and let him go get it.
I think Jalen Hurts is playing better than Tua.
Jalen Hurts is playing with a chip on his shoulder.
And Jalen Hurts is a bad man. I would love to see Oklahoma and Bama in a playoff game. That would be awesome.
Oh, man.
I mean, and I don't think Oklahoma defense could stop them, but man, it would be so fun. I mean, Hurts, everybody knows he's good. Don't get me wrong, but he is on fire right now.
What about that's one team that I have not paid any attention to is Oklahoma. What about the rest of, what is Oklahoma ranked, top five?
They got to be top 10. He was 20 of 23 in his first game.
I saw part of that.
Me and you couldn't go out in the front yard and get 5 yards apart and complete 20 of 23 passes.
Only game they had a little bit of trouble with is Houston.
Yeah, and that was the game that he was 20 of 23. So, I mean, I don't know if you call it trouble, but they played in Houston. And, I mean, Houston came out hot, and then they go and lose to Tulane. I mean, I don't know what's going on, man. I can't get a read on them. Speaking of Bama, not sidetracking here, but I'm very, very concerned with the offensive coordinator, with Steve, with Sarkisian. I'm worried that that's going to be their, that's what's going to get them in trouble. LSU or somebody is going to beat him up and he's going to lose it like he did in the Super Bowl or any other time. I don't think he's that good. I mean, I know I shouldn't say that about a guy that coaches at, that obviously coach in the NFL and stuff, but I don't like the way he plays calls. I mean, calls plays. I get nervous as hell because, you know, last year they would score, they just do whatever they wanted. And it's almost like he's just trying to, it's like he's trying to pound the ball for no reason. I'm like, dude, just, you know, let Tua get his 400 yards and take him out if that's what you want to do, but don't, I mean, it's third and four, and you're going to run a freaking – I mean, I know you got great running backs, but just throw that freaking slant to the – what's his name? The guy you're talking about, and let him run 90 yards. Like, what are you doing? Who? I mean, if you've got a Corvette or a Viper or a Ferrari, are you going to drive 25 down the road? That's what he's doing. Let it eat. What's the worst thing you're going to do, get a ticket? You own a Ferrari, and you're worried about a speeding ticket? Let it go. I mean, I understand coaches and philosophies about not showing too many plays, but they could run the same five plays every game until they play LSU or whoever, and then open the playbook. There's no reason to pull back.
Is Alabama's defense as good as it's been the past few years?
No, it's not even close to as good. But, you know, they've got injuries and stuff. They got injuries and stuff like that. I mean, look, dude, they lose every coordinator every year. I mean, yeah, it's partly injuries, but it's partly coordinators too. I mean, every year they have to hire new coordinators. Every year.
Surprised or about where it needed to be, the Auburn-Texas A&M game? Let's close it out there.
I don't care.
Didn't matter to me either. Either one of them.
I can't do it.
I don't think they're on the same level as LSU and Bama. I think they're just small level right below. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think they're there yet. Auburn
Can
with a freshman quarterback. Yes.
I want to ask you a question. What bothers you more, lights on your dash saying something's wrong or when you dribble on yourself 10?
All right, what's the second one again now?
When you basically wet your pants, when you're taking
–
the lights don't – like the alerts and the traction control lights and none of that bothers you on a truck?
Nope. Mine have been on since 1997. Hadn't bothered me yet.
Well, you don't – You don't eat Chick-fil-A either, so that explains it.
There you have it, folks. There you have it.
Hey, before we leave, what is the deal with the background? Look, you were good to go. You were in a high wind velocity situation the other day. You can put your hat on backwards.
I was just making sure because it was that or lose it. I mean, I was, you know, running 65. So, I mean, had at least 65 mile an hour wind, you know. So, I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, it was that or, like, you know, sit on my hat. So, I just wanted to let everybody know that that was a high velocity situation.
High velocity. Hey, and today, this weekend's been the anniversary of your trip up to Canada with Rolling Thunder Game Calls, because I've seen some pictures pop up over the past couple of days.
We called ourselves the Warman White Boys. That was a good trip.
Tell me one great thing before I let you go about that trip. Just one good story, real quick.
Oh, there's so many. Well, one is Criswell smoked $576 worth of my cigarettes. And then another good story is that Kari's really good at pool. And so we played these Canadians, and I'm terrible at pool. I mean, I'm okay, but I'd probably had 116 beers. And $100 up there goes a long way. And they were beating the crap out of us because of me. But the best story of the whole trip was the first morning we were there, we all had to wear Drake. We had to have Drake on because of Spencer's affiliation with them. So I, of course, always wear a Jack shirt. So I had that Drake piece. And, like, you know, I had a Rolling Thunder hat. So really all I had to do was cover the rest of me. And I had to have waiters. So I talked to Spence and I was like, give me some waiters. And he called me. He's like, dude, they don't have 12s or 11s. They have 10 or 13. And I was like, crap, man. I was like, just give me the 13s. I'll, you know, whatever. It'll be fine. I mean, Canada, you don't hunt water much. Well, the first freaking day we get there, and Dennis tells us we have to walk like 300 yards. First of all, the mud in Canada, it's so different than anywhere in the world. Like, you can't, I see now why the dinosaurs died. They got stuck and couldn't walk. But anyway, so I've got these size 13 Drake waders on, which would have fit your 16 foot because they made them 4 inches longer than they were supposed to be. So I have these 13, size 13 Drake waders on, okay? And I'm tromping through this mud. And you know how, like, when your foot comes out and then you get stuck and you can't get up? Like, you're just, like, there's nothing you can do. Like, you either have to make an executive decision. Like, if you're by yourself, you basically just have to roll into the water to get up. And so I'm stuck. I already have a bad knee. And so Kuroda and Criswell saved my life. I guess I could have hunted right there on my knees. I don't know. But anyway, they come and drag me out of there. I lose my sunglasses. It's like, I mean, I'm already, like, this is the first hunt. I've already got stuck in the mud for dead. Then we get done hunting. We kill our ducks, and, like, it was stupid. Like, I'm not one of those guys who, like, long limits, 35 minutes. But it was something stupid like that. Like, it happened so fast. Dennis goes and gets the truck. We were hunting 3 yards from dry ground. I could have hunted from dry ground in my flip-flops. But no, he sent us through 300 yards of the worst mud you'll ever get in your life and cattails. So by the time we all got there, we all thought we were going to die. I almost did die. And then we could have walked literally 9 feet to dry ground. 9 feet. I'm not exaggerating. You can ask anybody. Not 90 yards, 9 feet. All of that could have been avoided.
All right, Rob. You need to go get your wire for your headphones.
All right.
I'm sick of hearing everything I say twice coming out your speakers on your Bluetooth.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right, man.
I don't know what else.
I didn't
say, buddy.
That's probably been one of the most enjoyable podcasts, talking football. It was good. I enjoyed it. Remembering Jevin Snead. What a quarterback. All right, Rob, have a good rest of the week. We will talk soon. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.